Don't tell me most of you would still be in bed, right? Is that right? You lazy bunch. It's 11 o'clock. When, what would you be doing? Come on, shout out. What are you going to be doing on a Saturday this time? Someone over here. What would you do? Car boot sale? Going to gather some things or sell some things? Bit of both? What else? What, someone from this side, what would you be doing right now on a Saturday? Homework. Oh, wow. You are definitely in a better place. That's unequivocal. Can I tell you something exciting? Okay, I'll give this one. Playing video games. Okay, listen. There are lots of things that you guys would normally do on a Saturday. And I want to tell you today that you are absolutely in the best place today. And do you know why? Because we are about to open the Bible together. And the Bible is God's living word. Do you know what? There's one old guy, a guy called Martin Luther. And do you know what he said about the Bible? Can I tell you this? This is a weird old image, but it is true, because the Bible says it in Hebrews. He said, the Bible is alive. That's what he said. The Bible is alive. It's got feet, and it runs after me. And it's got hands, and it lays hold of me. And that's what we hope happens today, isn't it? That the Bible, this book, which you're used to opening, lots of you, lives. And it runs after you, and it grabs hold of you. That's what we want to have today? Is that what you want to happen? That's what I want to happen. You guys look dead. So, is that what you want to happen?
Yeah.
Good. At least two of you do. That's good. Well, let's pray for that to happen, shall we? So let's pray together. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful book, the Bible. We thank you that it is no ordinary book, but it is a book that lives because it is your word. And we ask today that we would experience what that guy Martin Luther experienced, that we would experience it running after us and laying hold of us. And shaking us into action and cuddling us where we need a big hug because we are struggling. Father, please would we know the Bible living and active today, sharper than a double-edged sword. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, me and my kids, we love to watch a TV program. And I'm hoping you guys love to watch it as well. It's called Total Wipeout. Who likes Total Wipeout? Oh, man, we love it. My wife hates us watching it because basically what happens is we start watching it and then our living room gets transformed into the Total Wipeout course. So we've kind of got this corner sofa thing and it basically becomes kind of the first bit of the course. And, you know, I'm there trying to knock them off the old sofa. And then the big red balls is tricky, to be fair. You know, that's harder to implement in the living room. But cushions, they kind of do the job, you know, we kind of bounce across. But we love this program. Now, if you've never seen Total Wipeout, it is just an unbelievably cool assault course, basically. And the idea is very simple. You've got to get from one end of the course to the other. You want to get to the goal. You want to get to the prize. Now, it sounds nice and easy, but along the way, there are all sorts of things that are trying to knock you off the course, right? So there's the sucker punches, there's the slippy slopes, there's the big red balls, there's the muddy puddles. There are lots of things that make you think, man, I'm not going to get to the end of this course. I'm going to crash out. I'm going to splash into the water. I'm going to fall off the course. That's true, isn't it? It's a great program. Now, here's the thing I want you to think about today. I want you to think about the fact that the Christian life, being a disciple of Jesus, a follower of our Lord Jesus, is a little bit like doing the Total Wipeout course. Now, before you look at me and think, what is this guy on? What do they drink in London? What's their water like? It is true, isn't it? Because here's the thing. When you're a follower of Jesus, you're trying to get to somewhere, aren't you? You're trying to get to the end of the course. You want to get to heaven. You want to be with Jesus forever in a world that has no sin, no sickness, no suffering. What a place to be. You want the prize. But as you run the course, there are all sorts of things that you feel are going to knock you over. There are all sorts of things that we might call stumblers, things that make your feet slip. There are things in life that happen to us that make us feel, man, I'm going to crash off of this course and I'm not going to get to the prize. Maybe some of you are here today and you're feeling like, help, I'm falling. Help me, I'm not sure I'm going to make it to the end of the gospel course. I'm not sure I'm going to get to heaven. I think I'm going to crash and burn. Now, for some of you, that might just be the fact that school is tough. School is a tough place to be a Christian, isn't it? Could be that you've got a teacher who is kind of stands there all important and tells you that God isn't real and science is all the answers to everything. And basically, what do they make you feel like in class? They make you feel like an right idiot. And all your friends look at you and think, oh, it's the God person over there. And maybe for you, that's thinking, I'm not sure I'm going to make this because this is really tough. Maybe it's just that it's hard to fit in at school because you are a follower of Jesus. You don't want to do the things that other friends of yours do. That can be hard, can't it? And maybe it feels like you're going to slip and you're going to slide and you're not going to make it because actually all you really want to do is just fit in. For some of you, it will be a temptation. There's a sin that you just keep being drawn to. Like a carrot in front of a donkey, and you just, oh, I really want that sin. And you're thinking over and over again, I'm just going to crash and burn here. It's true, isn't it, that there are all sorts of things in the Christian life, and I don't know you guys very well, you don't know me very well, but we do know that that's true. There are all sorts of things in the Christian life that make you feel like you're going to crash and burn, that you're going to fall off the course. And what I want us to think about together today, as we come back to Jude, is what help is there? When you feel like you are falling, when you feel like you are going to crash and burn, when you feel like something is about to whack you off the course, what help is there for us today? How do we stay on the course? How do we get to the prize? And the answer to that question is actually quite simple. The answer to the question is that you preach the gospel to yourself every day. You wake up in the morning and you preach about Jesus to yourself because Jesus is the one who keeps you secure. Jesus is the one who keeps you safe. When your eyes are, you know, sometimes when you're on something really high, the worst thing you can do is to look down. You know that? Like, oh, don't look down. Like, I went on some rope thing the other day, and I have to say, I'm not very good with heights, okay? But the worst thing you can do is look down. And do you know what? When you feel like you're falling on the Christian course, the worst thing you can do is look down. Because actually what you need to do is look up. You need to look to Jesus. And if you come back with me to Jude 1 verse 1, this description of a Christian, this is the way. If you preach this to yourself every day, this is the way that you will lift your eyes, not from down and looking like you're going to fall, but you'll lift your eyes to Jesus, the one who keeps you secure, the one who keeps you safe. This is the gospel in three words. Have a look with me at verse 1. Let me read it to you one more time. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Now, here's the description of a Christian. To those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father, and kept for, or if you look at your little footnote there, by Jesus Christ. What are the three words? Can you say them with me? One, two, three. Called, loved, kept. Okay, right, we're going to go to this side. You guys, called, loved, kept. Ready? One, two, three. You're okay? What about this side? One, two, three. You're pretty quiet, aren't you? Is it a West Country thing? Should I know about this? They're very loud in London, I have to say. Okay, let's go for this side one more time so you can be the loudest. One, two, three, go. It's not bad. This side, one, two, three. Okay, we'll warm up into it, I think. We'll get going during the day. But this is what you need to say to yourself. This is a description. If you this morning are a follower of the Lord Jesus, then you have this label. It's written on you. You can't see it. It's like one of those UV things. You know, you have to have a special light to see it. But this is what you are. You are called, you are loved, and you are kept. That is the title. Now listen, when you feel like you're falling, when you feel like you're not going to make the Christian life, when you feel like it's too tough to be a Christian, this is what you need to say to yourself. So tomorrow morning when you wake up, okay, and you go to the bathroom and you're getting ready for church in the morning or whatever you're doing, you know, making your hair look cool, whatever it is, putting on a bit of makeup, this is what you need to say in the mirror, okay? You say, I'm called, I'm loved, I'm kept. Now your parents will think you're a right nut job, because you'll be there in the bathroom and they'll be walking past and they'll be saying, I'm called, I'm loved, I'm kept. I'm called, I'm loved, I'm kept. Can you say it with me? I'm called, I'm loved, I'm kept. I'm called, I'm loved, I'm kept. This is what you'll be saying in the mirror. Why? Because this, if you can get your head around this truth about yourself, then you will stick on the gospel course. Because it will lift your eyes to the one who keeps you. Or lift your eyes to the one. Just go with me to the end of Jude. Can you do this? Look at verse 24. It will lift your eyes to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. To him who is able to stop you crashing off the course and dive bombing. It'll lift your eyes to Jesus. So that's a good thing to do, isn't it? To lift your eyes. Called, loved, kept. And then we're going to think about the first of these. And there are three big stumblers, okay? I've had the privilege of working with guys your age for about 15 years, okay? So I've worked with guys your age, and I have seen a lot of you guys and heard a lot of the questions that you guys ask. And I want to just pick three things today, three stumblers, three things that might make us feel like we're going to crash off the course. And the first of those is this. Have you ever asked yourself the question, am I really a Christian? Am I really a Christian? Is everything that I believe really true? Or have I kind of just made it up because mum and dad are Christians and I go to church? Am I really a Christian? Now, when might you be tempted to ask that question? When am I a Christian? Or am I really a Christian? Can I tell you that one of the times I've certainly asked it is when I've done a big sin. When I've sinned in some way and I feel rubbish. And I feel like God can't possibly love me. And maybe I'm not really a Christian after all because I've let God down again. You ever felt like that? What do you do when you feel like that? What do you say to yourself? What should a Christian say to themselves when you feel like you're going to fall off the course? Well, you remind yourself that you're called. That you're called. Let me see if I can get something up here. Now, to be called is actually Jude saying, okay, look, if you're struggling, if you've committed a big sin or there's something going on that's making you question whether you're really a Christian, Jude says you need to look back to where it all began. You need to look back to your beginning as a Christian. You are called. And I want to show you today that to be called means three things. You can say three things to yourself if you're called. The first is this. I was invited. I was invited. Having young kids has reminded me of something I'd completely forgotten about, which is the whole party invitation thing. Do you remember that as a kid? Like, you know, you'd come to school and then some kid would rock up to the line with this big handful of envelopes. And you're like, someone's having a party. Yes! And you're kind of waiting there eagerly for it to have your name on and your invitation comes out so you can go to the Pirates Soft Play or you can go down to McDonald's and have your, you know, Ronald McDonald party. You want that invitation, don't you? Someone comes to school. Now, I'd forgotten about this, but having young kids, we get party invitations home all the time. Man, it's like a full-time job taking children to a party. Did you know that? You know, you probably just get taken to parties. But when you're old like me, you have to take people to parties, and you don't get to go to them. You just get to sit outside and wait. And man, sometimes when they're in McDonald's, I'm thinking, oh, just one cheeseburger. Just one. But anyway, that's enough. So anyway, invitations. You get an invitation to a party. And you long for it, don't you? It comes with your name on it. You want it because you want to be part of this party that's going on. Now, can I tell you that in a similar way, it is the same when you become a Christian? Because what happens when you become a Christian is that there is a day when an invitation arrives with your name on it. It is an invitation from God to have a place in his eternal future with his son, the Lord Jesus. That's the invitation that comes. Now, how does that come? Do you get an envelope with your name on it? No, you are invited as somebody teaches you about the Lord Jesus. That's the invitation. That's how it comes to you. It's the gospel. Now, as you sit here today, lots of you guys will have had this invitation. You can think of the day when somebody told you the good news about the Lord Jesus. They told you about Jesus coming into the world, about his cross, about his resurrection, about his ascension, about his coming again. And in that was an invitation for you to repent and believe. Now, I don't know how you heard that invitation. You guys will know. And please do this today, okay? Judas saying, look back. Can you guys think of the time when somebody told you the gospel of our Lord Jesus? When the invitation came to you with your name on it? For some of you, it will have been parents. Parents who graciously, lovingly told you about Jesus as you grew up. For some of you, it will be your youth leaders. You're sitting here with some of them. These are the guys who put the invitation before you. For some of you, it would have been a friend. You met a friend at school, and that friend told you about Jesus. They put the invitation out there. If you're anything like me, it'll be a combination of all of those. God invited me many times before I said yes. And actually, that is the point. There is a day. Can you look back to a day when you were invited? Invited by God. And a Christian is someone who can say yes. Yes, there was a day when I was invited. There was a day when I heard the gospel. There was a day when that invitation arrived with my name on it. I was invited. The thing about the gospel invitation there, okay, is it's not like a party invite. Because party invites don't actually matter, really. I know my children cry. So there was one Saturday, I remember it really distinctly. There was one Saturday when my daughter could not go to her friend's birthday party. And you'd have thought that I'd have punched her in the stomach and twisted her head off with the amount of tears there were. She was like, Dad, my life is over. I can't go to this party. I was like, it doesn't really matter. You're just going down to her house and you can do it another time and it'll be okay. But she was so destroyed. But actually parties, like kids' parties, don't matter that much. But the invitation of the gospel is far more serious. Invitation is a bit of a weak term. One old writer puts it like this. Hearing the gospel is like receiving the saving plank that is held out to a drowning sinner. It's a lovely picture, isn't it? So imagine you, it's not an invitation. If you're swimming around drowning in the sea and someone says, oh, hello, would you like to get into my boat? It's not, actually, I'd rather stay here. It's like, yes, please, because you want to get in. You're in trouble. And the gospel, the invitation from God, when you heard it, was like a plank of wood held out from a boat to a drowning sinner. That was you. And you heard the gospel, and it was an invitation to you from Jesus. A saving plank held out to you. And so, friends, when you're struggling, when you are stumbling, when you are thinking, am I really a Christian? Can I encourage you, first of all, to look back and say yes. Yes, because there was a day when God invited me, when he put an invitation with my name on it and said, here is the message of my son, the Lord Jesus. That was the invitation you received. But it was more than the fact that you were invited, wasn't it? To be called in the Bible isn't just that you received an invitation. To be called in the Bible means this, that I responded. Now, okay, we need to qualify that, okay? Because actually, you responded because God enabled you. You'll probably think this is rude, but do you know how the Bible describes you before you become a Christian? Dead. Now, dead people don't do much, do they? Sorry to be rude about that, but they don't. They don't. They can't get up. They can't reply to an invitation. But by the kindness of God, he made you alive in Christ Jesus so that when you heard the gospel, you believed it. An invitation needs to be responded to, doesn't it? So I come home from work normally about kind of 5:15, 5:30. My lovely wife is normally cooking dinner, as she does. And then I have the very important job. This is my contribution to making dinner in our house. She says, Nathan, dinner's ready. Would you mind calling the children? So I, very importantly, as the man of the house, come in, stand in the living room, and I declare to my house that dinner is ready. I call people. I invite them. Dinner is ready. Now, what do you think people do with my invitation? Can I tell you what happens? My 3-year-old son, who is built like a prop, and he's massive, and he loves his food. Before I've even finished the invitation, he's at the dinner table with his knife and fork.
Feed me.
That's my 3-year-old son. And then slowly my girls, they sort of drift down and, you know, start to sit down nice and neat and tidy at the table. But my 11-year-old son, anyone would think that, you know, that he didn't like food. Honestly, he sits, yeah, Ethan, so we're sort of everyone's sitting down by now, you know, food's on the table. Ethan, it's food time.
Yeah, in a minute.
No, really now. Like, I've invited you down to the table, come now. But he doesn't respond. He just doesn't come down. Now, that's what you've got to do with an invitation. You have to respond. My 3-year-old son had it nailed. He's got it down.
Dinner is ready.
At the table. My 11-year-old son, well, he's got some things to learn about responding to an invitation. It's the same with a party invite, isn't it? It is not enough to receive an invite. You can get an invitation that says, please come to my party. But at the bottom it says, RSVP, text so-and-so, tell them you're coming. Now, it's the same as a Christian. The gospel is an invitation. Repent and believe. But you have to respond to the invitation. You have to respond and say, yes, please. I want a piece of this pie. I want some of this action. Can you remember that day? Can you remember a day where you heard the gospel of Jesus? And by God's kindness, you responded. Now, for some of us, that won't be a particular moment, particularly because we've heard it lots of times. And over time, we've just progressively sort of said, yeah, actually, I really believe this. But however you wrap it up, whatever your experience is, there is a time that you can look back to as a Christian and say, do you know what? I was totally convinced that message of Jesus is for me. I'm a sinner who needs forgiving. I have no hope without Jesus. And I believe. I accept this invitation. 1 Thessalonians, another letter, describes a group of Christians. And Paul says to those group of Christians, this is what happened when the gospel came. He said, I thank God because my gospel came to you not merely with words, but with power and with deep conviction. And he tells the Thessalonian Christians about that day. Why? Because he wants them to remember that they really are chosen by God. That they really have heard the gospel. They really did respond. This really is real. There was a time they can look back to. So someone, can you say this with me? So someone who's called can say, I was in. Someone who's called says, I. That's what you can say if you're a Christian here today. And the third thing is this, being called doesn't just mean you were invited, doesn't just mean you responded, but it also means that you belong. You belong. You know, I was just telling you about my 3-year-old son, the prop, knife and fork, absolute nut job, really is, but a lovely boy. But he's got this amazing ability to sense when someone's playing with something that belongs to him. Have you ever seen that in a kid? Unbelievable. He's got this intense, this is mine, and you will not touch it. So, you know, like he could be playing in another part of the house, and he's happily playing with his toy, and if one of the other kids picks up one of his toys downstairs, he's like, that's mine! Get up! That's my toy! He's very possessive. It's his. It belongs to him. And he's got a very strong sense that it is his. Now, in a similar way, it's true for you as a Christian. Because when the Lord Jesus invites you, when by his grace he enables you to respond, actually, do you know what he writes on you? That's mine. You're mine. You belong to Jesus. A transfer takes place. You no longer are heading to this dead end, but you're heading now to the glory of being with Jesus forever. He put you on the gospel course. He put you on the total wipeout course. You're there because of him, and you belong to him. That's an amazingly comforting truth, isn't it? That's what it means to be called, invited. You responded and you belong to Jesus. In Romans 1 verse 6, Paul says of the Christians there that they, if I get this right, he says that they are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That is why they are called. That is why they are invited. So that you are now property of Jesus. He has written on you, that's mine. You belong to Jesus. That's what it means to be called. And so when you feel like you are stumbling as a Christian, when you are tempted to ask the question, am I really a Christian? Do you know what Jude says? He says, remember, you are called. You are called. That means that you were invited, you responded, and you now belong to Jesus. That is your title as someone who has put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Called. Am I really a Christian? Yes. You look back to a day when those things happened. That is your evidence, as it were. God's fingerprints are all over it. His work is all over it. And that is how you can be confident when you feel like you're falling. I'm on this gospel course because Jesus put me here. And sometimes you need to look back to remember that's true. He called me out of my old way of life and he called me into something new, to join his party. And you're here not because you're clever or because your parents made something up and you've been brought up in a certain way. No, that's not why you're a Christian. That's not why you're on the gospel course. You're on the gospel course because God had an invitation with your name on it. You responded by God's grace. And now you belong to him. And that's worth remembering when you think you're going to fall. That is a glorious truth that lifts your eyes from yourself and your own inability to run the course to Jesus, who keeps you, who protects you. Jesus tells a story. I'll finish with this. Am I doing all right for time? Are we okay? Jesus tells a story in Matthew about a wedding. And he's likening it to kind of being joined on to this great feast at the end of time, this wedding banquet. And he says he sends out guys to invite people to this wedding banquet, and people make all sorts of excuses. They say, I can't come to the wedding because, I can't come to the wedding because. The invitation goes out, it goes out, it goes out. And that's what's happening in our world. The gospel goes out. And Jesus says at the end of this course, many are invited, but few are chosen. Now, how do you know if you are chosen? How do you know if you're really someone picked by Jesus? Because you can look back to a time where you were invited, you responded, and now you belong. You're called. But I also want to say here today, so I don't want to presume upon anything. I know that we're from Christian youth groups. But I also want to say that there's a warning in this for us today as well. Because for some of us, we will have heard the gospel invitation many, many times. Maybe you're sitting here and you know you can do the Christian thing, you can act the Christian way, but really you know that you haven't responded to God's invitation yet. You've heard the message of Jesus. You've heard that you're a sinner who needs forgiveness. But you have not responded. You have not come to Jesus and said, Jesus, forgive me. And I want to say that why not? On this Saturday, respond to the invitation if you haven't already. Why not say, yes, please, Jesus. I'm really sorry that I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. These people in this story Jesus tells rejected the invitations. Don't be those who reject the gospel that you've heard. You've come with youth leaders who will tell you. You may have come from homes that will tell you about Jesus. But don't reject it. A Christian can say, I'm called. And when you fear that you are going to fall, you need to remind yourself of that truth. I'm called. Because by this great truth, we can rebuke our fears. And we can rebuke our doubts. And we can say, no, I am what I am. Because Jesus put me here. That's a great truth to celebrate, isn't it? So when you feel like you're going to fall, what do you need to say to yourself? I'm called. Can you say it with me? I'm called. You need to say it with a bit more enthusiasm, right? Because I'm not sure that you're going to believe. I don't, you know, if I was your mate and you were really, you know, I'm called. What's your name? Eeyore? It's good news. Say, I'm called. Come on, let's have some of that action. Ready? This side. Well, you can warm up over there. La, 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 la. Let's have a bit of that over there. Yeah. Man, you guys are hard work. Right, this side. Ready? One, two, three. I'm
called.
That's better. Right, over this side. One, two, three. I'm
called.
Oh, this side of warming up. Maybe after cake a bit later, we'll have a bit of action over here. That's good. Shall I pray? And then I'll hand back, to us. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you. We thank you that many of us in this room can look back to a time where you graciously invited us to the wedding banquet of heaven as we heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Father, we didn't deserve to receive that invitation, but you gave it to us. We thank you for those who brought it to us, for our youth leaders, for our family, for our friends. But we also thank you that by your grace you enabled some of us to respond. And we know that we could not have done that unless you'd have helped us. And we thank you for the assurance that we now belong to Jesus. And Father, when there are things in our life that make us feel like we're going to fall, that we're going to crash off the gospel course, we ask, please, that you would lift our eyes to Jesus, that you would remind us that we are on the gospel course, not because we dreamed up some idea, but because you put us here. Father, if we haven't yet responded to the gospel of Jesus, please, by your Spirit, enable us to do so, for Jesus' sake. Amen.